Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. President Donald Trump has made perhaps the most consequential foreign policy decision during his time in elective office. Over the weekend, he ordered the United States military to attack Iran, sparking a conflict that engulfed large portions of the Middle East. Reactions among Illinois and Missouri federal lawmakers split along party lines. GOP officials largely supported Trump's decision, citing a desire to prevent Iran's government from obtaining nuclear weapons. But Democrats, such as Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth, not only decried how Trump launched the attacks without congressional authorization, but also once again got America into an overseas military conflict after talking incessantly throughout 2024 about being opposed to war.
We also can't forget how much the people of Iran have already suffered under the Ayatollah's evil regime. And now they and Americans across the region are in danger of becoming collateral damage from the Trump administration's self-selected escalation.
Joining us now to talk about how members of Missouri and Illinois' congressional delegation are reacting, and in two cases, not reacting that much to Trump's military attack, is Professor Carly Wayne, a political science professor at Washington University who focuses on international relations and the political psychology of conflict. Professor, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
As I sort of mentioned on the outset, Republicans in Congress, including almost every member of the Missouri delegation, have supported Trump's decision, and all basically every Democrat who represents Missouri and Illinois has opposed this. Has this surprised you at all?
Not at all. This is sort of a continuation of extreme partisan polarization in Congress. The Republicans have sort of predictably gone along with Trump's plans, even though they in some ways represent a profound shift in his rhetoric. And Democrats have sort of uniformly opposed this escalation in Iran.
Trump cited a lot of different things for launching the attack, including trying to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon and to build up its ballistic missiles program. Missouri Congressman Mark Alford of Cass County provided this rationale on Saturday for supporting the strike.
For decades, the radical Islamic regime that rules Iran has been the world's leading state sponsor of terror. It has exported violence, chaos, and instability across the globe through its proxies. For almost 50 years, the Iranian regime has brutally suppressed, tortured, and executed its own people. It is directly responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American service members. I'm proud that we finally have a president behind the resolute desk who is holding this terrorist regime accountable.
That was Missouri Congressman Mark Alford of Cass County shortly after Trump announced his strike on Iran on Saturday. Professor, correct me if I'm wrong, but Congressman Alford was alluding to how Iran helped groups like Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Israel during that clip, correct?
Iran has supported many militant and terrorist organizations in the Middle East, including groups like the Houthis in Yemen as well. And so this is one of the United States' key reasons that they are so against the Iranian regime, among others.
In some respects, I wasn't surprised, much like you, to see the partisan split. We do live in a very polarized political environment where Republicans are going to support the Republican president and Democrats are going to oppose it. But from a consistency level, I should have been surprised. Like, Donald Trump talked all the time in 2024 about how he wasn't going to get into any wars. And yet, here we are. He has gotten us into a war. Are you surprised there haven't been more Republicans speaking out against that, given that a lot of them bought into that rhetoric?
Yeah, there's definitely a bit of doublespeak going on here, where on the one hand you have a president who's talked a lot about the need to return to prioritizing America rather than getting involved in foreign wars, who is now deciding to launch a foreign war. But I think in another sense, this is sort of consistent with his approach to how he interacts with the world, which is that he prefers unilateral action. And so I think the criticisms that he's levied about international involvements by the United States have been when they're involved with allies and partners. So he doesn't like that the U.S. is contributing more than their fair share to NATO. He doesn't like what he sees as sort of aid to Ukraine or soft power in the form of U.S. aid to Africa and things like that. But in terms of military action, he has actually shown a willingness to be extremely assertive in the international stage, including most recently, right, deposing the Venezuelan dictator and bringing him to the United States. So in some ways, this is sort of a continuation of the policy moves he's made earlier in his term in office.
One of the mindsets that my good friend Kathy Gilsonan has provided to me is that whataboutism can actually be useful if the whataboutism makes sense. So yes, Iran has done all the things that Congressman Alford and President Trump and other Republicans have said, but I could say that Belarus has also destabilized NATO allies and has brutally suppressed its own people. And I could say the same thing about North Korea, but we haven't invaded either one of those countries. I think I know the answer why, but rather than answer my own question, why do you think we haven't gone after those countries, but we're going after Iran right now?
Yeah, this is always the question, right? Because there's never going to be a shortage of sort of brutal dictators around the world that the United States could be opposed to on moral philosophical grounds. So in the case of Belarus, that's a key Russian ally, of course. And Trump has been much more sort of tepid in his support of Ukraine during his term in office. He's sort of flip-flopped multiple times in terms of the extent to which he's going to support Ukraine in this conflict versus sort of pressure Ukraine to accede to Russia's territorial demands. And so I think he just does not have the appetite to attack a key Russian ally in that way, given that his own views on that conflict sort of change over time. And then for North Korea, that would, of course, mean threatening a much greater, bigger adversary for the United States, which is China. It's not clear that the U.S. would have as easy of a time fighting a war with China, of course, that they're sort of the largest geopolitical adversary that the United States has in terms of strength. And not to mention the fact that North Korea has nuclear weapons. And of course, this is exactly one of the reasons a state like Iran might want nuclear weapons, right? Because you don't see the North Korean regime being toppled, and it may in fact be because they have nuclear weapons.
I mentioned on the outset that there were two Missouri Republicans in particular who underreacted to the news of Trump's strike on Iran, and those were Missouri Senators Josh Hawley and Eric Schmidt. They said literally nothing over the weekend. And then as the week went on, they said they're not going to support a war powers resolution. And they had, I would say, tepidly supportive things to say. But I think that the reason why their relative silence initially was notable is both have expressed a reluctance to get involved in foreign conflicts. Both of them were very much opposed to giving weaponry to Ukraine. What do you make of how the two have navigated the conflict so far, given their past assertions about foreign policy?
Yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if privately behind closed doors, a lot of Republicans are expressing dismay at this new war. I think many of them are probably worried about how this is going to play out for them electorally long term, especially if the war drags on, which it very well might. So I think they're trying to thread the needle here. They're showing support for Trump in sort of the least way they can to avoid angering sort of the MAGA base, while at the same time, there's some limits to what their support would be. I think Josh Hawley said no boots on the ground.
Yes,
right?
He has basically said, like, I'm not going to support a war powers resolution right now, but if it comes to boots on the ground, that's a completely different story. But before we continue talking about Schmidt and Hawley, war powers resolution, for people that might not know how that works, if you could break that down, even though I know it's a very complicated thing, that would be my next question.
Yeah, so in some ways it's symbolic, but essentially Congress is the branch of our government that is supposed to approve the United States going to war. This is not something that we in our Constitution allow the executive to do unilaterally unless there is an imminent threat to the United States. Although I will say that you know, historically, we have not had Congress declare war for lots of wars, including ones that have been fought under Democratic presidents. So that sort of power to Congress has been steadily eroding over time. But that is what the War Powers Resolution is about.
Going back to Holly and Schmidt, when I was talking with Senator Eric Schmidt right after the United States went and snatched Nicolas Maduro, I asked him point blank, what's the difference between Donald Trump running for president on an anti-war platform in 2024 and Woodrow Wilson saying that he would keep America out of World War One, and then in 1917 got America into World War One? This was part of Schmidt's answer.
The false choice here is between wandering adventurism and isolationism. The isolationism was always a slur. This is about a foreign policy where the core interests of the United States of America reign supreme. And we have a core interest in making sure we don't have an illegitimate dictator sending drugs and playing host to our adversaries in our own backyard. And so a very strategic action was taken, a very limited action was taken here, and I support that.
That was Senator Eric Schmidt talking with me earlier this year, explaining his foreign policy philosophy right after the United States went and took Nicolas Maduro out of Venezuela. I listened to that and I'm like, nothing about this Iran strike is limited. And I could make an argument that what exactly is the U.S. interest in doing that? Do you think that he basically is being dragged into supporting something that conflicts with his core philosophy there?
So I actually don't think so. I think that his sort of core philosophy is unilateralism, and I don't think he has necessarily stable preferences or stable beliefs about what he's going to do with his policy in the next month, 2 months. But I do think his sort of single stable belief that you see over time is his willingness to sort of decide emphatically, oh, I'm going to do military force and I'm going to use military might to achieve the goals that I set out. So in some ways, I think this is sort of a continuation of a very assertive foreign policy that he thinks as America taking the rightful leadership role.
We're talking with Washington University political science professor Carly Wayne, talking about the reaction of Missouri and Illinois federal officials to Donald Trump's decision to strike Iran. So let's talk about the Missouri and Illinois Democrats. As I kind of mentioned before, they're all against this, a lot of it on procedural grounds. They didn't like the fact that it happened without congressional authorization. But I actually found Congressman Wesley Bell's sentiments to be particularly interesting. He said, quote, launching a regime change campaign without a clear strategy, a defined end goal, or honest preparation for the cost is dangerous and short-sighted. And the reason it was interesting to me is, for better or for worse, Bell is associated with AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. They spent a lot of money to get him elected over Cori Bush, and they put out a statement saying they basically supported what Trump did. Do you think that people like Bell, who have been traditionally supportive of Israel, and we should also point out that Israel attacked Iran with the United States here, are being put in a rather delicate position here?
Perhaps to a certain extent, although I think this statement by Bell is sort of a no-brainer for him. When lobbying groups like AIPAC or any other lobbying group push to get certain politicians elected, they're not necessarily it's not as much of like a quid pro quo as is implied in a lot of popular press on these issues. They're sort of investing in these longer term relationships. And so I think they know that the politicians that they support are not going to fall in line on every single vote. It's more about what the alternative would be. And I think they saw Cori Bush as a long term, much less a tenable alternative for them. And I think also this is sort of low cost for Bell. All Democrats have come out against this war. And as you mentioned, they've done so largely on procedural grounds. And I think that is itself sort of strategic. Every Democrat statement that I've seen has been very clear to start the statement off by talking about how horrible of a regime Iran is and all of the things they don't like about Iran. And then they just go on to say that they oppose doing this without congressional approval and that they oppose doing this without a plan. And so I think that's actually sort of, it is anti this war, but not in as strong of a way as you could be.
In the last minute or so, you mentioned that the War Powers Resolution was largely symbolic, and I guess I can maybe explain that further. It was symbolic because it was never going to have the votes to pass, and even if it passed, Trump probably would have vetoed it, and it would have not likely been relevant. But I do see it as more than symbolic, though. Like, for instance, the Iraq War Resolution in 2002 was always likely going to pass, but given how poorly that went, the yays and nays for that became really important from a political standpoint, especially during 2008. We might have had a President Hillary Clinton in 2008 if she would have voted against that war. So can you talk about how there may be more than just symbolism behind that vote, even though it was not successful this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. So if the Iran war were to turn into sort of a quagmire in the same way that Iraq did, where you have U.S. troops on the ground and we're there for years and there's, you know, no winning in sight, that you get this sort of popular surge in the United States that's anti-war in the Middle East again, and then they look and try to find the few Republicans that, you know, voted yes on this War Powers Resolution, and maybe they have a leg up in that sense. The sort of staunchly isolationist wing of the party could point to that as a rallying flag, so to speak.
Well, we'll have to be monitoring this probably for the next few days, weeks, possibly even months, maybe even years. We'll just have to see. Carly Wayne is a political science professor at Washington University who specializes in international relations and the political psychology of conflict. Professor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Today's episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.